I was just really nervous today. I basically say what I'm going to say hundreds of times to individuals. Hundreds, literally hundreds of times. But for some reason, today, I don't know. I'm just really nervous, you know? Pastor Tim said we could do this, like, whenever we need to, right? Yeah. I'm hoping it's like Popeye to spinach. You know that can of spinach? You young people don't know what that is. That spinach was the first superhero, I'm just saying. I need spinach right now. You know, we've been talking about the shame-free gospel, right? And almost to a point of total redundancy, I want to just repeat what I did last week, not because I didn't do it well, just because I think it may be the most important thing I've ever said. And you know, we talked about mistakes last week. Man, I've talked to people who were told they were a mistake before they were even born. I've prayed with people, and it stretches your mind. But do you know that when a baby's still in the womb, that they can interpret the feelings and the atmosphere that's going on around them? They're humans. This stupidity where we've been killing people with no some word I can't think of. We've been killing them. They're people. And I pray for people who they were an accident or they were not planned. But they weren't a mistake themselves. And I don't know why we do it, but we interpret how people see us and what we interpret that as we're a mistake. And you don't know. You may know, you know. You know what the truth is, for most of us, we struggle with those kind of feelings. It may not be, I'm a mistake. You know, that's pretty, I don't know. You can't imagine the pain that that causes if you believe that about yourself. And it happens at your birth, and you can find 1,000 things that prove it's true every day. You see, because the truth is, you and I make mistakes. That doesn't mean you are a mistake. And so we're going to go at this more. And I'm going to share just something just so deep in my heart that it just... It's like Jesus wanted me to get this, and he took a pen out, and he wrote it into my heart. And at the deepest place that I have in me, and just thinking about it makes me nervous. And I've shared it hundreds of times. I don't know why I'm nervous, but I am. I need him, you know. I need the Lord. So mistake, what is a mistake? This is a Webster definition, you know. It's an action, decision, or judgment that produces an unwanted or unintentional result. That's a definition of mistake. You know, when we talk about the shame-free gospel, there are some things you're going to have to get as a foundation to understand it. You're going to live without shame. It seems impossible to live without regret. That is impossible. If you're old enough to know what happened, you know, there are things in your life that you regret. To live without guilt, once again, impossible. To live without being embarrassed, wouldn't that be heaven? It is heaven. It is heaven. Adam and Eve were naked and they had no shame. They were embarrassed. You know, I think about that, and there's some things we have to understand. I'm going to talk about some words, right? I've already talked about some. We're going to continue. We're going to go over sin. What is a biblical definition of sin? And the closest thing I can come up with is that's a relational word. It's not an action word. It is a relationship or a broken relationship or the lack of relationship. It's when your child runs away from you and runs out in front of a car. You would never let that happen if they were within arm's reach, would you? Is there anyone here that would intentionally throw their own child in front of a car? No. But if that child broke relationship with you, they could do it. Maybe they just shouldn't grow up and they should stay in your house their whole lives and then they wouldn't get hurt, right? Not a good idea. We talked about mistakes are not sin. Talked about that to an extension, to a huge deal last week. Mistakes aren't sin. Sin's relational, period. And I'm going to show you that. We'll spend a whole day just on sin, Old and New Testament, historically, in every way you can think of. And I'll prove to you, if you want to accept it, that sin is a relational term. What did Jesus pray in his high priestly prayer in John 14 through 17? Father, I pray that they could be one with us the way that we're one with each other. They could be in me and me in them the same way I'm in you and you're in me. It was always about that. What did Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit decide before creation? That they would have a family. And not just an out there family, an internal family. And that's the whole purpose of creation, is to have relationship with Him. And we're going to talk more about that and more about sin. And also, we talked about repentance last week. And I know it's a lot of words and it seems like, what's the big deal? It is the biggest deal. Repentance isn't what we in English, in our English terms, and ours, it's not what that word means. In Romans chapter 12, it explains it well. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Repentance is a Greek word, metanoia, and it literally means major changing of your mind. I was thinking this was a good way to go, but when God brings me revelation, now I think this is a good way to go. And when I do that, this crazy thing happens. We are transformed because we chose to walk in relationship with God. It's about relationship. And when that happens, we will be transformed. It's a change of the mind, a major shift of your thinking. Do you know that Jesus doesn't think like us? We're so logical. He's divine. He's divine. How could a little widow woman that just had two little pennies give more than all the rich people who were given hundreds of thousands of dollars? Jesus, that's not logical. They gave more. Are you stupid? He's not. You see, He doesn't think like you do. And most of our thinking about sin and about repentance is based on logic and reasoning and a judicial paradigm that we inherited from Greek pagan gods. But you don't want to do that study because it'll mess you up. And so we talked about that. And then we often talk about this word, confess, because confess and metanoia, confess and repentance, actually have the same basic root word. Confess is that Greek word that we say, you know, in 1 John 1:9. A huge book in the Bible. Huge in importance, small in size. 1 John said this, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that's the Greek word homologeo, we talk about it here often, and I do it because it's just a big deal. Confess doesn't mean stand up here in front of the church. I mean, you know, I would love to hear the story, you know. I mean, one day I'm going to ask David O'Neill to stand up here and confess all of his sin. And it'll be like, we'll make money on this, dude. No, that's not what that word means. Confess is homo logeo, to logic, homo the same as. Confess is when I see this the way God sees it. Doesn't it sound a whole lot of like repentance? Metanoia? Yeah, it does. If you agree with God about the direction you're going in your broken relationship with Him, if you do that, That's all you got to do. It's by faith, right? If you believe that, look what he says. He is faithful. He, God, he is faithful. He's just to, I forgot how it goes now. I say it all the time, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives us. He sets us free from the bondage and he cleanses us from all the ways it's affected us. Well, you mean I can go my own way and be totally independent of God and destroy people and destroy my life and ruin everything, and God's going to set me free from every bondage from that and cleanse me? Yeah. Well, why? Well, he's Jesus and he died to do that. It's his choice. You know, it's like all Popeye had to do was eat the spinach. I don't know where the power came from, because spinach doesn't do that to me. It does other things to me, but not that, right? Use your imagination, Philip. Philip's like, I know that. No, it's you confess, you agree with him, you change your mind and come in harmony with him, and it's all about him, it's all about him, it's all about him. And guys, we get so wrapped up in it's about us. And it's not about us. Not that. The power comes from him. You know, you guys did not. I mean, you know, repentance in our world means to be sorry for sin. That isn't what that word means. In our world, it means self-condemnation, remorse, regret, shame. It literally is focusing on your sin and your failure and not on Jesus. It's like, we got that so messed up. Guys, for you to be able to embrace the shame-free gospel, there's some concepts that you're going to have to look at. And it's all about Jesus. He is faithful and just. I don't know why we put, you know, we're can-do American people, right? I mean, you know, my family down in South Louisiana, when that hurricane hit a few years ago, I forgot the name of it. Not the last one that hit, the one before that just flooded New Orleans and everything. My family, my Alford family, they're all from South Louisiana, some of them south of New Orleans, right? And everybody here is gathering stuff up and taking it down to Louisiana and going in all this panic. And I'm like, well, I'm going to call my cousins. They didn't want any help. They didn't want any gas. They didn't want any generators. I look at my one cousin this last time. He had his whole roof torn off his house. He's got plastic trying to protect the kitchen. All of his stuff was messed up. They do it themselves. They take care of themselves. They're Americans. Well, we are too. And we keep wanting to do what only he can do. And it's all about Jesus. Today, when I'm talking about mistakes are not sin, it's because mistakes to us mean that we did something wrong. And we judge ourselves by it. How do I know that's true, right? I'm trying to decide what to skip. I want to do this because it's fun. You guys that are not my age grew up in the wrong generation. I'm just telling you. It's like when I was a teenager, basketball games at the high school were like the only social event there was. You know, there's no nothing else. There's no social media, all that stuff. It's just not there. And so everyone, all 200 of us, would go to the basketball games at night because that's where it was happening. And everybody had small schools. And so we'd have, you know, 200 people on our side of the stands. And then right across the court, and these are small courts, there's, you know, 100 of their people, whatever, if it's a home game, away game. And our cheerleaders used to get us to do something. It's like, you guys could do it here. We would go, we have spirit. Yes, we do. We have spirit. How about you? And then you would yell back at us. And we'd be in this yelling contest all. Remember that? Anybody else? I mean, come on, raise your hand. I don't see anybody else. Okay, so almost over half of you guys have done it. Wasn't that fun? It was fun. Oh, Lisa loved it. She's back here. She's like, yeah, I did it. Me and her were both in the gym at the same time. We didn't even care about the game. We just liked doing that. Now, I want to teach you guys a chant. Right? This is a good chant. Chant? Y'all know what a chant is? Okay. I'm going to say this. No, you're going to say this part. I'll say the second part. Okay? So it's a responsive thing. That makes it Christian. It's a responsive thing. Okay. You're going to say, we have faith. Okay, you're going to say that. I'll lead you in it. Ready? Okay, here you go. We have faith. He has power. Okay.
We have faith.
He has power. Come on, do it again.
We have faith.
He has power. That's the truth. What's Christianity? It's all his power. All we have is faith. And that's what I was trying to convince you of last week, and I think it's really true. But guys, if you want to really believe it's true, you're going to go through the same painful process I'm going through. Because there are areas of your life where you don't think there's any power, where you think it's beyond help, where you think you've messed it up in a thousand ways. There's areas in your life where you are not happy with the results. There are. There's areas you're embarrassed about. I've tasted some of your cooking. You should be embarrassed about it. I'm kidding. I mean, how many of you girls, I mean, really, guys and girls both, but this in my generation, it's mostly girls, have ever messed something up when you were brand new at cooking? I mean, really messed something up? Like, and you were so poor you couldn't afford to throw it away? You don't still do that, do you? I mean, I'm not going to tell y'all one time, Jeannie made, who said yeah? Dara, are you still single? Just saying. No, I remember one time, Jeannie and I are so poor, and she's Brazilian, she's not used to American desserts, I'll give the pre-qualification, she didn't know, she wasn't, you know, and she made an apple pie. Homemade crust, it was gorgeous. You know, we're just us two, right, during this time. And we were poor, so it was like, you can't afford to throw anything away. And we eat supper anticipating, I don't know if this was our first pie, but I don't think it was, but I think we were really looking forward to this apple pie. And we cut it, and we both took a bite, and it's like, make an apple pie and forget to put sugar in. Tell me how it turns out. You would think it's edible because it's apple. It's not. And we had to feed it to our beagles. It hurt me. I do not like throwing away food. You all have moments like that. But you know what? Now she makes desserts. We haven't done that in 40 years, probably. Haven't done that in 38 years, I think. She hasn't made another pie with no sugar in it in 38 years. Thank God. Guys, it's really true. We have faith. He has power. But you know where you're going to get challenged? Is in the areas where you judge yourself. You know what this is? I called this the good old Seth slap. Had this young man in our church, and he hated when he made stupid mistakes. And I'm just talking to him about, he's really, really, really unhappy with himself. And when he would make a mistake, he'd do sort of like, you've seen football players and people do this. But it went way beyond that. I mean, I'm like, ooh, ooh. And then I'm like, oh, that's how you motivate yourself not to make another mistake. What do you do? How do you feel when you're making mistakes? You know, mistakes aren't inherently bad. They are not sin. Now, what counts is how we view and react to them, right? You see, but if you have a preconceived idea that mistakes are sin, then it is sin to you. It's how you think about it, how you react to it. How do you react to mistakes? Or should I ask your friend or your spouse or your parents? How do you react when things don't go the way you planned? You see, that's what mistakes are, unintentional outcomes. It hurts when you try really, really hard. You try really, really hard, but you still make a mistake. I mean, you try to follow Jesus hard, and you still make a mistake. How do you react? Mistakes do not make you a failure, and they do not make you a mistake. Beating yourself up for sure makes you feel like a mistake. So you need to ask yourself, what are mistakes to you? It's easy for me to preach this and put it up here on the board and talk to you about it, but it's another thing when it's in here. I wanted to get in here because this will be the most freeing, loving relationship with God you've ever had. A relationship based on faith, not production. You know, it's interesting. You know what faith is, right? There's Linus. God love him. It's true. Mistakes really are the stairway to heaven for us. They really are. And I'm going to show you this. I stole this poster. Your last mistake is your best teacher. That's how Jesus thinks. It's how you learn. And there is that verse we did it last week. Your be transformed. And then we talked about Paul last week. You remember this? Paul wrote the letter of Philippians to the church in Philippi. And in that letter, he starts it out talking about them still growing. They're his disciples. These are his people that he's mentoring. He said, guys, now you know Paul was fully aware that everything's already complete in Jesus. He's fully aware of that. Like, Jesus has done it all and is seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning. It's all done. But there's another thing that Paul was fully aware of. Even his disciples were still growing. God began a good work in them, and he's going to carry it on until it's complete. That's what Paul believed. And then in chapter 3 of that same letter, Paul said, and guess what? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider yet to have taken hold of it. I strain towards what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Listen, he was still making mistakes, but he was pressing on to Christ Jesus. And until you get to heaven, you're going to still make mistakes, guys. You're still going to mess up. You're still going to regret. You're still going to have shame. And I can still point my finger at you, too. But remember, there's four more pointing backwards at me when I point at you. The truth is, mistakes aren't sin. Mistakes literally become the steps to your future. Today I want to go take a big dare here with you guys. And I've said this before, but for some reason it really, really is hard. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. See, we talked about Paul. I can show you in history, in literature, in 1,000 different ways. I mean, even in the depths of Charlie Brown, right? Linus understood mistakes. The truth is, Jesus is our everything. He's the perfecter of our... Oh, he's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we think he's wanting to make us perfect with our definition of perfect, but maybe you have a definition of perfect that's different than his. To us, we think Jesus is the perfecter of our perfection. But maybe he defines perfection differently than we do, because I know how I define it. I define perfection not making mistakes, not failing, not messing up. That's how I define it. And you know, it's interesting in Scripture, and I told you this last week, God chose to, 86 times in the New Testament, describe Jesus as the Son of Man. Now, he didn't do anything by accident in the Scripture. Why was he calling him the Son of Man? Because he was the Son of God. You know, when you go and you, so I want to look at this passage. I asked you guys to read it. I should have sent you a reminder this week. I intended to, because most of us forgot to read this. I didn't because I'm preaching on it, but you probably did. But this is like the most fascinating scripture in the Bible to me. I've spent years thinking about this passage. Because Jesus, being the most important person that's ever lived and being literally God himself, this is all we know about his young life. Like up until he's 12 years old, we know about his birth, we know about this, and then after this, we don't know anything until he's 30. The most important human on earth, there's this 18-year gap. And so I would look at this, I'd say, Lord, what? God, I know there's something. This is huge, God, but I don't get it. So I'm going to tell you guys a little story. We have faith. He has power. We're right. No, I'd rather have faith. Being right doesn't release his power. You know what releases his power is when a person, a human being, a flesh, created flesh, was created with one purpose, and that's to be inhabited by God himself. But God can't inhabit you if you don't have a body. You see, Jesus came to earth, and he was born a human, and he lived in his flesh just like we do every day of his life. He never pulled the God card. He lived by the power of God working in his flesh. Now, in my world, Jesus was perfect, right? I was raised to believe that. I fully believed it. It's a part of my, core belief systems. He's perfect. Yeah, he is perfect. He was perfectly created to give his flesh to his Father. He wasn't perfect by my definition of perfect. Because my definition of perfect did not include growing or making mistakes. In my world, you had to do it right. If you're perfect. God didn't agree with me. A few years ago, I was adding on to my house. And it's just true, right? I've told this story to you guys. Some of you have heard it. Big deal to me. I'm adding on to my house. And I've been building for years and years and years. Oh, that's hilarious. We're going to fix that where it'll quit breaking. I promise. I sort of like it that way. We may change all the rest of them to make them angled, you know. I have this thing. I'm like a child. You ever seen little boys play? Little boys will always line stuff up. Almost always. They just do. They'll put it in rows and lines. You ask them, why are you doing that? I don't know. I still do it as an adult. I was like, that kind of thing would drive me crazy because it's not lined up. So that's just a part of who I am. So I'm building onto my house, and we got the sheetrock done inside the interior of it. And I've been building for years and years, and I still have all 10 digits. I try to be really careful around construction and not lose fingers and stuff. And so I know, and one of the rules in construction is when you're in the process of building, you just don't lean random 2x6s up on a sheetrock wall and leave them there because you're going to bump it. A cord's going to pull it. So sure enough, I've got my skill saw, and I'm cutting something. And so I'm down on my knees, and I'm cutting with my skill saw, and I pulled the cord, of course, and I hear, and I know that sound. That is something on sheetrock. And I turn around and look, and I'm right beside the wall. I turn around and look, and a 2x6 goes, boom, hit me right in the face. I thought I knocked my two front teeth out. I didn't. Both lips were cut, swole up like a dog, and I'm like, I did the good old Seth slap. I'm sure I didn't cuss, but I went, stupid. And I was thankful it hadn't gone through the floor, broken something, you know. So that's okay. I keep working. I'll live, just busted lip, no big deal. A couple days later, I'm building this 8-foot by 8-foot, putting in a plate glass window in our bedroom. And Jeannie likes to put flowers on the windowsill. So I was making I encased this big window. It doesn't raise and lower. It's a picture window. And it has a big 2x10 ledge for the seal on the bottom. And I just did natural wood. I just like wood. And so I bought expensive frame, and I framed in this whole window. It's very pretty all the way. And I spent a whole day building it, sanding it, routing it, everything, put it together. And I stand back to look at it, and it's like, my heart sank. You know that feeling? That, oh, God. I had made the bottom window sill without letting it stick over the edges so you can see the crack. And I'm like, I know better than that. I just cut it off straight. And I'm like, I'm going to be looking at that window for the next 30 years. And it's going to bug me every time I look at it. I am not happy. And then I go through in my mind, it'll take me a full day's work to rebuild it. And it'll cost me about $300 in wood, because you can't tear that wood out and then do it back. That windowsill was the first thing I put down, and I built the whole thing around it. So I did what any reasonable person would do. I'm like, she's going to put curtains on that anyway. You won't see it. I'm good. Sunday's coming, which is always true for us, right? Monday's coming for me. Sunday's coming. But by Sunday, my not good has turned into really not good. Two mistakes in 1 week. It has got me. Yeah, I did. I felt like you, Tracy Dolan. Making mistakes is unacceptable. And so I make it through Sunday, but Monday morning I woke up, you know, 3 or 4, whatever it was, and I'm like, I cannot get past this. So I do something like I did today before I preached. That was communion this morning. A lot of times I just go to God. Man, when something's bugging you inside, just go to Him. Whatever you got to do, just go to Him. Well, Alan, you shouldn't have been bugged by that. Well, yeah, you don't be bugged by anything either. How does that make you feel? It doesn't work. I know it's a window. I know it was just a stupid board. And I didn't lose my teeth. But it didn't matter. For me, it was killing me inside. So I came down here into church. And everything's dark. All these lights are off. It's really dark in here when the lights are off and it's night. And I'm just walking and praying. And that was, I don't know why I was studying that passage right then. Just for fun. I'm just reading it, meditating on it, studying it historically, studying it in context. You know, all the stuff about Jesus, everything I can. I just can't get past that scripture. And I'm walking and I'm not happy. And if I'm not happy, sometimes I can get a little snarky. Just to warn you. If I'm ever snarky, it's probably I'm not happy. I'm not happy, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking about this scripture, and I hear the Holy Spirit. I feel, you know it's God. I hear the Holy Spirit say, Jesus was a carpenter. God showed up. It was wonderful. He said, Jesus was a carpenter. I said, yeah, I know, and He also worked with metal and stone too. Mr. Holy Spirit. And He did. I was right, but that didn't matter. I was not happy. It's embarrassing, you know. And then this killed me. And it may kill you. I'm sorry if it offends you. If you don't believe like I do about this, that's okay. Holy Spirit will tell you if He wants to or not, right? But I heard the Holy Spirit say, next statement He made to me, He said, Jesus made mistakes. I screamed. I screamed too, Dara, but not like that. I screamed, no! My Savior wasn't perfect. Impossible. Maybe He wasn't my definition of perfect. So inside, I'm still screaming. I'm mad. I'm screaming. My face is red like it is right now. I'm like, no, no, no. My whole world I built on Jesus, and He made mistakes. God, I know. And then the Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit, He has this passage memorized, Luke 2:41. Y'all know the passage, right? It's Luke 2:41. I'm not going to have time to read it. Y'all can read it. You know the passage. And Jesus has stayed back in the temple courts. And he got down to this verse. Of course, his mom said, "Son, why have you treated us like this?" in verse 48. And he said, "You know, why were you searching for me? I'm just a 12-year-old boy that disappeared for 4 days in a city, very dangerous city. Why were you looking for me, you dummies?" You know, no, he didn't have that attitude, but I'm sorry. He was 12. They did not understand what he was saying to them. And That's funny. I made a mistake. I didn't put the end of the passage in there. That's okay. Have you ever felt bad for saying, "I'm trying"? You know what that's like? Like you're trying your hardest to do something important, something you value, and it's not going so well. And then somebody's on your case, you're on your case, your boss is on your case, your spouse is on your case, somebody's on your case, right? And then you look at me like, "I'm trying, I'm just trying." That's how I feel this morning. Yeah. You see, I know that feeling because I was raised where mistakes are sin. Trying doesn't count for squat. Well, in the Jesus world, when you're trying to follow Him, that's faith. You know what faith isn't? Faith isn't what happens afterwards. That's knowing. Faith is before you have any evidence of what you're believing for. So how do you win? You win when you have faith. Even when you mess up. Now, there's more to say about that. Don't get me wrong. Because faith really is how we learn. It's how we grow. How do you know you're missing it if you don't try? You'll never learn to walk if you don't try. Well, so it says, the Bible says, I'll just tell you as best I can remember. It says, after that, it says, Jesus went home with his parents and he obeyed them. Take that however you want to. Then it says, and Jesus grew. He grew, his body grew. He was 12. He wasn't through growing. He grew in wisdom. That's what got me. I'm okay with Jesus' body growing. I'm not okay with him growing in wisdom. I remember one day I grew in wisdom. You know what happened? I'll tell this. My little sister's here. She didn't know this happened. I was a junior in high school, and I was, you know, a little man-child by then, right? I had little biceps and stuff. But my mama was a man. I mean, she wasn't a man, but she worked in the cafeteria at the school my whole life, and she was strong. She was like 5'10" and muscular and strong. And one day, my dad's out of town somewhere. One day, me and her are going at it, and I'm like, "Meow, meow, 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 meow." And she's like, and I guess I could out-talk her. And she lost it. For her, this was losing it. She lost it, and she went, and she's coming. Like, she's not going to, like, do that kind of stuff. She's going to hit me in the side of the head. And I, without thinking, I'm like, "Tunk," and I caught her hand. And instantly, I was like, "Oh, crap, 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 crap. Hit me, hit me." She didn't say a word, but my daddy got home on Friday night, and he hit me. I was a junior in high school. That's a little old to be getting beat, you know. I made a mistake. I grew in wisdom that day. I said something, I did something unwise. I wasn't going against God. It was wisdom. I learned. You see, Jesus grew in wisdom the same way you do, by doing unwise things. He grew in stature. He grew as a child. He was His favorite term to use for himself was son of man. He was born of the flesh. And the thing is, you know what our flesh is, you know what's perfect about him? Our flesh is perfectly created to be a habitation of God. That's what is perfect about him. And he always did it, unlike us. He always, always was trying to follow his dad. He never broke relationship, but he made mistakes and he grew. And he grew in favor. This is crazy because how could he do this if he was God? He grew in favor with God. That's what God says. And he grew in favor with mankind. And guys, we judge ourselves when we believe that mistakes are sin. That day, something in me broke. And it's still being worked out. So I still look back and, you know, there's stuff. And I'm like, God, I'm trying. I always expect a rebuke. You know what comes? Love. Never rebuke. Always love. You think he'd be smart enough to get mad at me. He's not. He's right, you know. So this morning, as we talk about this, you know, it's funny. How we sang that first song this morning, it got me. Let joy arise. I'm not going to attempt to sing it because I'll make a mistake. Let joy arise. You know that song? You got to do this stuff while you're singing it because it's that kind of song, right? Let joy arise. God, how can I let joy rise when I'm messing everything up? Are you trying? Do you believe? Yes. Then you can have joy. You don't have to wait for the results. You can trust him. We have faith. He has power. So this morning, we sang the right song. How can you be happy before you see the results? Because the goal is connecting with him. Mistakes really are. You know, Dan taught me something this week, last week I think it was. I didn't know what that was. Y'all know what stairs are? There's some stairs right here, right? You have a stair, and then you've got a wall, and you hit a wall. And, you know, we think hitting walls are bad. Like when you make a mistake, what if you tried 20 times and you failed every time? You hit a wall and you hit a wall. I'm trying. I'm just hitting a wall. You know what walls really are? They're risers that take you up to the next level. It's not a wall. It's a riser. Guys, if we look at it right, if we agree with God about this, it'll change how you do life. And it'll change how you do life with your friends and your family and your people. It's okay. He's everything. It's all by faith. All right? So let's stand up. Come on in, Lisa. I can't believe I made a mistake and I left the passage I was actually preaching out. I want to say I did that on purpose, but I didn't. It was totally a mistake. Totally. Actually, I misspelled a word in here on purpose to show you making a mistake is not that big a deal. But then I went back and fixed it. I just couldn't stand to have a misspelled word. Then God got me. I should have listened the first time. Guys, it's okay. Have you forgiven yourself? Are you judging yourself? Now listen, there's more to say about this. Because I didn't say going your own way, doing what against God is okay. I didn't say that. I'm saying when you live by faith. When I'm trying to follow him and I look around me at the mess, I've got to say, God, you've got this thing. And I'll learn. I'm learning, God. I'm learning. Maybe he's doing something even bigger than learning. Maybe he's working on somebody else and he needed you to volunteer like the apostles. They all messed up at the end of Jesus' life, didn't they? They all left him. They had to. They did it so for us. So scripture could be fulfilled. It's what Jesus said. It had to be that way. Guys, I think sometimes we judge ourselves for stuff that Jesus is like, I got this. Like Peter, he judged himself pretty hard. Jesus had to rebuke him and forgive him three times. So this morning, are you holding something in your heart that you're a regret, mistake you made when you were trying to follow God? Let's ask Jesus about it, okay? Let's all bow our heads. So God, would you just open my eyes and every one of our eyes, Lord, here and online, wherever they are. God, would you just show us if we're still hanging on to something that we regret, that we've been judging ourselves about. Now, Jesus, would you speak to each one of us about that thing that we're holding on to? What do you want us to know, Lord? I believe God wants to let joy arise. And it happens when you live by faith. So Jesus, I just ask you to give each one of us the boldness to give that to you and to not judge ourselves, to not put more weight on us than we do on you. Just give each one of us faith to believe that you can handle it, that you've got it. And God, I ask that you would cleanse us from all the independence that is. You'd cleanse our hearts, you'd cleanse our feelings, our emotions, chemicals in our brain. And God, that you'd set us free from bondage to that judgment. God, we just welcome your future. So God, I just thank you for what you're doing right now. It's a big deal, God. So this morning, we'll have a ministry team up here to pray with you and for any physical thing you need, anything going on in your life. We also, the communion table is still open. If you need the Lord, you might take communion. It's true. It's about the body and the blood of Jesus. That's what it's about. Amen. So thank you for coming. Worship team, thank you. Thank you, Lisa. And God bless you guys.